Good afternoon. Well, kind of similar story to Brother Mann. I didn't get married from somebody from here, but my daughter sure did. We brought her here in a baby carrier for the first time, and not knowing that one day she would be a part of this church. And also within that same year, I believe Andrew, we went to Maryland to see, or to be at Andrew's ordination, and it was a blessed time for us. And every time I have come up here, it's been a blessing. The first time I came here, and we sat in the very back, and the singing was so beautiful, I didn't even want to be part of it. I just wanted to listen to it because I might mess it up. So, but as I stand here before you, I do beg an interest in your prayer. And I'm going to speak through in the book of 1 Peter, but I want to mention, as Brother Thomas was speaking, that one of the things that came up to mind was what a great hope these men had given us through the inspiration of the Word of God. These words have lasted through centuries and centuries and centuries. Been maligned and trying to take it away from us, and still they stand true. Because one of the things is, there's an integral seed in everybody who is a believer to understand the basic words that are said. And when, as Brother Mann stated about being a self-advocate, not being one, but we tend to be that. We tend to try to, cover or gloss our sins with our own words, but we have a greater advocate. You're your own worst guy advocate. You're going to be, you want to see somebody who's the greatest sinner. Just look in the mirror and that's, you'll find them. But the words of the Bible and the people and the characters of the Bible, that gives us encouragement to go through tremendous trials. Tremendous trials. I'm sure some of us here have gone through something or know someone or tried to encourage someone that was going through a trial. You know, you find in the book of Luke, the second chapter, 35th verse, a lady named Anne. Not much is said about her. It said that she was a widow for a long time. She was old. But there's some attributes about her that stand out. And that sometimes we may overlook because the shortness of her biography. You know, some things that she went through, some sorrow. She was a widow. Some may be here. And my mother-in-law, who recently lost her husband, it's been a trial for her. And I'm sure. But the thing is, she remained steadfast in her worship. It says that she went to the church every day. She had this hope. And look what she was blessed to see. She was blessed to see Jesus. She was blessed to see Jesus. She went to church, she prayed, she fasted, and she did not allow her age to stop her. And most of all she did, she spoke of the salvation of Israel. We can do that. We've been given the voice to speak of the salvation of Israel. We've been given the gift to speak of what she saw. And she saw in this child hope. The salvation of Israel. Brother Mann spoke about rest. You know how many millions and billions of dollars are spent each year on that rest? They give you drugs. You go to your local furniture store. They got every flavor of mattress that you want to give you rest. Some from $500 to $11,000. What kind of rest do you want? They raise your head, your feet, vibrate you in the bed. You can hook up your iPhone to it, give you mood music, everything you want. People want rest. But you can't buy the rest that God gives you. There's no amount of money that can give you that. He says it. All those who are heavy laden and need rest, come to me. There's no, he's not charging you for it. It's been given to you. So that's when I'm going to speak on 1 Peter. Because here is the beginning of the persecution. They're going to have some problems. In fact, it is written that in these areas that are mentioned in the first opening statement, these are part of Turkey. And there is a governor of Turkey named Pliny. And he's sending a letter back to the emperor, Trajan. And in that letter he said, I'm putting to death all these followers of Jesus, of Christ. Putting them to death. And you wonder, why? Why? I have read letters from the century of what kind of citizens Christians were like. And these men were talking in glowing terms about him. And he says, why we're doing it, I don't know, but we're doing it. So Trajan said, you know what? Do this. If they repent, if they recant and worship our gods, let them go. Well, you know what the outcome's going to be. They're not going to change. They're not going to. So the persecution starts. So here, Peter, as John, is giving encouragement and hope to those who are going through a trial. And the trial is your life. We've been blessed in this nation to have the freedom to worship. But what you're seeing now is now they want you in the corner. They don't want you talking. They don't want you saying anything. They don't want you vocalizing what you believe. Be silent. Anna was not silent. She was proclaiming the salvation of Jerusalem. And each one of us have that opportunity. Peter mentions, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers that are scattered, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, all these people, they're all of what is now regional Turkey. Strangers. That's what we are. We know Scripture tells us that this is not our home. That our home is somewhere else. Our home has been secured. Our home, as Jesus told the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. It is a place, and he's going to tell us about this, to give these individuals who are going through some trials encouragement. Encouragement. You know, there are folks who need a lot of encouragement, and you may be the one who gives it to them. When we read the Bible, then gives us the instructions of how to help someone. How to help someone. And he's telling us, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, one thing I've gleaned from this is, like I said, people are looking for rest. They are. They spend lots of money. They go on vacation. They go to, and then you need a vacation from the vacation because you spend so much time worrying about the vacation. And then you spend so much money on the vacation, you got to work yourself to a frazzle so you could need another day of rest. But you see, it says grace. True peace. The kind that God gives. As he's told us in John 14, not man's peace. That's fleeting. We know how many treaties have been signed. How many armistices have been signed by leaders of the world that cannot bring any peace. The war to end all wars, 20 years later, you're in another world war. And not only that it shepherded what? The nuclear age. Now we're afraid of total annihilation. The children don't remember when we used to have to hide under the desk at school, like that was going to help. Peace. To have real peace. The grace of God has to be with you. I give you my peace, not man's peace. And He brings it to you in such a unique way that a person of God is with you the whole time. The Holy Spirit is with you. He's right there with you. I used to tell the kids, I said, you know, they always want to know how I was when I was younger. And I only told them one-tenth of it. But, you know, my mother didn't know what I was doing. But you start to realize that God knows what I'm doing. As when you read the Word of God. And to have true peace that comes through the grace of God. And He said, the one thing that I hope and I want to learn to do more is to give God all the glory. You think just because I'm in the ministry that is like kind of like second nature. No, it is something that I have to do every single day to bless God for the things that He's done for me. Not in a global sense, but in a granular sense. The little things, the things that we overlook. The things that, you know, when you talk to someone who is really struggling, you talk to someone whose time is short, then you start to realize what a blessing it is to be a believer in God. What a blessing it is to have a moment, a conversation with somebody who truly enjoys what you have to say about God. Because these may be the last weeks, last months, or last days that he has or she has on this earth. And to have that fellowship, that koinonia, in which John talks about in the first chapter. The fellowship of unity, of a community of believers. To stick together. This is what Peter here is trying to do. Create a bond of believers that is strengthened together. Because they are going to go through a common hardship. And they have an empire coming down and trying to eradicate them. Because of they believe in one single thing. In a man named Jesus. In a singular God. In a singular belief. This is blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercies has begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, something that is real and tangible, something that is secure, that it gives you vitality. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Just think about that one. Because He's going to go into something else in a second. In inheritance. But think of the resurrection. John writes, I seen Him, I touched Him, I heard Him. I'm an eyewitness. He gives credence to what he's saying. But the one thing he's going to touch, I'm getting ahead of myself, but here you have the first of many to come again, Jesus, to give us that hope, to give them that hope. Yes. Yes, Perpetua. You gave up your life, but it was not in vain. The slave woman, now she wasn't a slave, she was an aristocrat, a Roman aristocrat. Who would not recant her worship of Jesus and went to her death in an arena. And he says, with an inheritance uncorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away and is reserved for you, reserved in heaven. Where? It is reserved. You know, when we go traveling, We went to Massachusetts and New York on a wild run. Went down to Williamsburg, Virginia, driving through the, it was just a crazy trip, but I enjoyed every moment of it. Got to see things that I'd never seen before. But we called and made reservations. We had car reservations and hotel reservations. And this is one thing. You hope when you get there, there's a room waiting for you, right? Oh, this is it. God has reserved a place for you. It is there. It is secure. So what is it? It's there. You're not going to lose it. It's not going to fade away. Nobody's going to take it away from you. You cannot misplace it. J. Paul Getty erased his nephew's name or his grandson's name off his his will. God never will. Though maybe some that say it, he never will. The Bible secures it. His word secures it. It is secured in something more precious than gemstones, than gold, than anything man-made. Bitcoin, whatever you want. It is reserved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Does that give you confidence? Because that's what it's. If you have to have confidence in the work of Jesus Christ, you have to be. And that's why these men wrote these things under the inspiration of God, that it gives you confidence. It gives you security. It gives you hope that you have a place. And this is happen chance. If you do lose your life, you know where you're going. You know where you're going. We were trying to get here, and Asa was excited about coming and seeing his cousins. And he's running around like chickens with their head cut off by there a while ago. But I misread the GPS and took the wrong turn, and he almost came out of the back seat. You know, what are you doing? You know, and the thing is, you're not going to take a wrong turn. You're going there. It is secure for you. It is there. The path has been set. And he says, I think this next statement is one of the most important things you have to look at in this context. He says, who are kept by the power of God? Who are kept by the power of God? I'll say it again. Who are kept by the power of God? Not the power of the United States. Not the global powers combined, but the power of God. Who can you declare me like? He asked Moses. Who am I like? Is there someone in this universe, in this sphere, in this creation that can be compared to the might of Almighty God? And you know, when Brother Man said it's an individual thing. He knows your very hairs on your head. He knows what you think. David described it. If I'm asleep, you know what I'm doing. Every word that I utter before I utter it, you know it. If I were in the depths of hell, you would know it. In the depths of the sea, you would know it. So those poor men who in World War II, their ships sunk. There's no hope for them. Is there not? He knows exactly where they are. Exactly who they are. They're mine. I bought them by the blood of my beloved Son. And it is my power that resurrected him. And it is my power that will resurrect them. That's the kind of power through faith unto the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last days. Wherein it says, ye greatly rejoice, through a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through the manifold temptations, in the trials of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth with using, and being tried with fire, that it might be found to the praise and honor and glory of the appearing appearing of Jesus Christ. Your trials, whatever it may be, whoever you know and you're praying for their trial, is only a short time. Whatever it is, it's only for a short time. But it says, you may be heavy through it, but it is something that your faith that is more precious than anything materialistic in the world. That's what I'm gleaning from that. That anything materialistic can give the happiness, that $11,000 mattress that you may want and may have and are sleeping on, it ain't going to give you as much joy as it is when you're face to face with Jesus. But this is the crux. Whom having not seen, ye love. How many of us have seen Jesus in the flesh? Raise your hand. No one. John told you he's seen him, touched and felt him. So you have, hey, I have an eyewitness account. So you have some, you have that there. And then there's 500 others that were telling us that they've seen and been around. But none of us have seen him. But you've seen his word. You've seen Jesus' work. You have an experience. How many moms are out here? The miracle of birth. That's the work of God. You see God in the creation process when a child is born. You see God in so many different ways. You may not be seeing him in the flesh, but you see him in the things, his hands. The unseen hand of God, as the song tells us. You see it everywhere. But you just have to have the discerning eye of a believer. Because there are others that don't see what you see in birth. Don't call it what it is, but you see it. You see, and yet you love. In whom ye know, now see him, not yet believe, and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Every time we sing, you're given. That's part of what you see. You're getting the voice that you have, the gift of singing. Even if it's not in the right pitch, the right key or whatever, just do it. It is what fills your heart. Rejoicing in the glory of God. You know, in closing, I'll say this. In going back to Anna, she saw hope in a baby. But she saw that hope before it even came, because she was speaking of those things, of the salvation. Jesus is coming again. Is coming again. We can still do the same thing, and no matter what age, what condition, and how bad we feel, how good we are, we could. What? In sorrow, don't let it stop you. Age, don't let it stop you. Say, I'm too young. Keep going. No, you can. Keep trotting along. Learning. Praying. Fasting. And first of all, last of all, speak of the salvation that's coming. The salvation is coming in the name of Jesus in the last days. I thank you for your kind attention. May God bless you in your endeavors.